It comes back to our depot where we're then collecting and storing it up to 1,000 litres or 2,000 litres at a time. Then we work with specific chemical recycling organisations that then collect it, and then they will then turn that chemicals back into water just by bringing it back to pH neutral.
Right.
And that's done through solvents.
Because hydrogen peroxide will come back to water in certain circumstances.
Oh, yeah. Like, look, I remind a lot of people, your hydrogen peroxide and your shampoo, all of these are sitting around that 90 to 95% water. It's not like that is all chemicals in there. It's mostly water in there. So it's how to extract that out of the chemicals is the game. And this is not rocket science.
Now, was all this going down the drain before this?
Down the drains into the oceans.
Right. To the water treatment plant, which may or may not deal with it well, which may or may not deal with the chemicals.
And when we say water treatment plants, what we found out is that that we couldn't actually find out or guarantee that it was going to plants. This is where it gets very confusing.
Because a lot of the grey water goes to the stormwater network, not to the poo water network.
Exactly.
Yes. No.
Exactly.
I know exactly how that works, and that's true in Auckland. A third of Auckland has combined sewer and storm, but most of Auckland has grey water going to the storm sewer and not to the wastewater system.
It's a huge problem, and it was actually very hard to get some clarity about that. And it's funny, even for the water companies, where they say, "Look, we just don't." It's such old networks of pipes; it's very hard for them to actually even understand where it's actually going. And this was quite concerning to us. So we thought, look, it's our responsibility to try to divert as much of this chemical waste as possible from the drains so we don't have to worry about where it's going, so we can control it and actually get it back into a chemical recycling facility to actually turn this back into water. So what actually happens here in Australia, we actually sell that water back to the government, and they actually use it as a part of their sprinkler systems when they're laying tarmac. So they're laying roads to keep the dust down.
Right.
So and that way, major contracts.
Yeah, you don't have to make it potable. You just have to make it safe. And then they can spray it on the roads.
Yeah, I tell people it wouldn't probably go back into your drinking water.
Yeah, it's not potable water. Exactly. Fascinating.
So, I think it's important that we start looking at all these things, right? With small business like hairdressing salons, like beauty salons, where we're using a lot of chemicals all the time, that we need to start looking at ways of how to divert these chemical wastes. You know, I think this has been something that's been overlooked for a very long time, and it's very important we start to make progress with this today, right? Because, you know, the more and more we're seeing more salons coming on streets, on roads, where, you know, population growth is growing all the time, there's only more and more chemicals going down the drains that needs to stop.
That's right. That's right. So, what other stories have you got for me from the salon world? Because actually, it's a big business. I mean, it's a huge industry.
Yeah, we are definitely one of the largest industries in any country around the world. And I always like to remind hairdressers, we're also a very secure industry to the whole movement of AI and things, because, of course, you know, every industry is being disrupted at the moment. But hairdressing is kind of lucky because it's an art and a craft. It means that you always need that human touch. So hairdressing holds strong will hold strong over the next 20 years of this whole disruption period of what's happening in industry. So salons, we make up a huge part of the population. You only have to go to any main street and you'll see there'll be just as many hair salons as there are cafes on any street.
Wow, really?
Next time you walk down the street, just count the amount of salons that you're there, and you'll realize, wow, there's probably 10 salons on every main street.
You know, being a bloke who goes to the same barber once a month, every month, I don't even see it, eh?
Oh, most people it's just been a part of your daily life. But, yeah, we make up a huge part of the working population. And again, it's one of those jobs that's very creative, and hairdressers are very passionate. You know, we love what we do. It's a feel-good job. It's always making the client feel good. They walk out. So it's one of those jobs that's very satisfying.
Well, and as you say, it's going to be relatively immune to the next wave of automation simply because the personal touch is such a key aspect of it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And I think that's an important part I always like to highlight to hairdressers, is that, you know, your job's going to be around. So you pick the right career.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And sure, they might create some robot who can give me a perfect number two buzz cut, but most of it aren't going to wear that. Most
I don't know if I want. Do you want a robot holding a razor near your?
Oh, I know. I know. The thought is horrible, but we're going to let them drive our cars and our buses and our trains soon enough. So. Yeah. Yeah. Now you do collect razors and other metals. Yes. And plastics. Now, most of that's going through the traditional kind of recycling pathways, is it not?
No, not at all. We actually work with a whole range of different plastic recyclers. So as we grow within New Zealand now, we'll be working with a diverse range of plastic recyclers in the future, because what's happening in the plastic world at the moment is probably what you're all seeing, just like where China is now saying no more plastic, you know, we don't want you to send it to us. This is a big wake-up call to countries like New Zealand, saying, guys, you can do this internally. You don't need to send it offshore. We have some amazing plastic recycling companies here in Australia called Plastics Forest, Replas, that are actually making, for example, at Plastics Forest, they are manufacturing a product that actually protects our MBN, which is a hard asset board made from shampoo bottles, plastic bags, that can stay underground for over 500 years. It will never degrade. It will never break down. This is what we call a hard asset plastic.
Yep.
At Replas, they're actually a huge manufacturer now of furniture.
Yes.
So government furniture. So when you go sit in a park, you'll see the park bench now that will be made from recycled plastic.
And you mentioned that. I'm going to steal a moment of your time and say that that's where all the soft plastics recycling program plastics in New Zealand are going. They're going to Replas to be made into furniture. And we're trying to encourage local governments, are you guys listening, to buy that furniture. It's not happening. And what it means is we're still dumping our soft plastics in Australia. Just pointing that out.
Good. And it's exactly right. And we are. So the plastics coming from the salons, especially soft plastics, are all getting shipped back to Australia. And it doesn't need to be that way. But what I think New Zealand needs to do now is to recognise that, yes, we need to support a company like Replas, and we need to start looking at this type of technology in our own country.
The issue for that is...
Government needs to get behind it.
Well, the government is behind it. We're only collecting 3% of the soft plastics, and we cannot justify a Replas plant in New Zealand yet. We will when we're collecting enough of it, but we're not. We're only getting 3% of the soft plastic.
Yeah.
And so for right now, shipping to Oz is actually the same thing to do economically for everybody, including the Australians, because it just adds to your stream. We're not actually that big a contributor even to your stream.
Yes. And what's the big change here, like an organization like Sustainable Salon, is that, see, we collect plastics as a single source. What the problem is within what I call the standard mixed recycle bin is it's very hard for the MRF. So when your mixed recycle bin is being sent to the big recycling centre, they've got to put it through this very expensive machine to sort it. And that's one of the main reasons that very little soft plastics even gets collected, because it's actually nearly impossible to separate within these facilities. It's easy to get metal.
Oh, we don't even collect it here.
Paper.
We don't even collect. We don't even allow it in our mixed recycling because it jams the MRFs.
Exactly. See, what we do differently is that we have a whole bin dedicated to it.
Yes. So do we now. Yes.
It's collected as a single source.
Yes, our soft plastics are collected as a single source at the grocery store, completely separate from your household recycling.
At the grocery store, how do we get this not just being a grocery store where it's an initiative that you have to take it? What we're doing is putting it inside the business.
Oh, no, it makes perfect sense to me. And we're starting to do that here. We're starting to put it into businesses where that makes sense. But, again, we're only doing 3% at the moment.
Oh, and that's why there needs to be more organizations just like Salon for other industries, you know, where they're tackling small business recycling and saying, you know what? We can provide a specific bin set up within the business that can collect it as that single source. And that's really going to be, you're going to change from 3% to 30% overnight just because you're going to
It could happen
really
very quickly.
It. Exactly. Like what we showed in the hairdressing industry, rapidly we're now changing the whole mentality of the whole industry about metals, paper, plastic, hair. And these are people that never really thought about, you know, oh my God, what do I do with all this? It's just that we introduced it to them and they just got so
and they ran with it.
Behind it.
They yep. ran with it. Now, I'm afraid we are out of time. I know you're finding that hard to believe, aren't you?
Sorry, I talked too much.
No, that's all right. We've got a half-hour show. But before I let you go, if somebody wants to get involved, and I'm talking to, shouting out to hairdressers and salon managers yeah. And even dog groomers, since you mentioned them, locally. In fact, I know a couple that I'm going to call myself. Do they go to your webpage, sustainablesalons.org, yeah. and get in touch? Is that the best way?
That's it. You jump on our website. There's a part there where it says request a meeting, and they fill in their details, and then one of our representatives in your local area will come visit you and explain the program, how does it all work, and how to get on board.
Fabulous. Well, Paul, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I love your program. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. And I'm thrilled to hear that it is slowly spreading across New Zealand. That's wonderful.
It started, so it's great to be there, and we're really stoked to have had Auckland as our first territory off the ground, and we are growing across the country. So if you are in Wellington, Dunedin, Queenstown, I know you're shouting out to us now, and we are coming.
Cool. Thanks again, mate. Kia ora.
Thanks for listening. If you've missed anything in today's program, don't forget, you can listen again online at any time. PlanetAudio.org.